In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. You may be seated. Maybe it was Advent or Lessons and Carols. Maybe it was Lent or Holy Week. Maybe, like for me, it was Ash Wednesday that drew you into an Anglican church for the first time. If you weren't born into the Anglican tradition, and then what do you know, an Anglican church is now your church home, it's likely, that living with the liturgical calendar had a major impact on that change. At least that's what I've heard over and over again these 16 years I've served at Apostles. Now sure, other factors like weekly communion, that may be the most important to you, but over the years, the rhythms of the Christian calendar are easily one of the top reasons people seek the Anglican way in the first place. You enter the doors of the church on Ash Wednesday, Palm Sunday, the first Sunday of Advent, you have a general idea of what to expect. But stick around for an entire yearly cycle, and you'll enter the doors into services that are entirely unfamiliar, like February 2nd, Groundhog Day to Americans, but to Anglicans, that's Candlemas. Or the 40th day of Eastertide, Ascension Day, which we celebrate here in the nave this Thursday evening. Or Rogation Sunday, which sounds very strange, of course. But then all of a sudden you're walking in a field, the priest is blessing seedlings and plants, and the nave has grass clippings all around from the procession. Well, this too is what it means to embrace the rhythms of the liturgical year, the Christian calendar. Some of these unfamiliar feast days may be entirely new, but they are not minor observances. We've revived some of these services that are native to our Anglican tradition that have, especially over the past 100 years, been lost in our modern technological world. And we revive these services not because we love tradition or think that history is interesting or that symbols inspire. No, there's more. Every service, whether it's ordinary or festive, whether it's familiar to you or very unfamiliar, it means to baptize your heart, your mind, your body, and your soul in the grace of God in all seasons. The Christian year, with its seasons of fasts and feasts, it gives a shape so that we can map the story of our lives, disparate though they be, onto the story of Christ and His church. The Christian year is a trellis for growth, if you will. We are saved by grace, and we are meant to grow in grace into full maturity in Christ, both personally and collectively. That's what the Christian year is for, even a strange Sunday like Rogation Sunday. A few years ago, I considered the question, why did God give liturgy in the first place? Why not some other way? Now, you read Exodus and you find that the Lord not only gives His moral law, the Ten Commandments, He gives liturgies for worship. He gives elaborate instructions to build His tabernacle, just so. He gives the Sabbath. He gives an annual cycle of feasts and times for fasting to Israel, all for the sake of making His grace visible, tangible, tactile. Grace was grounded, you might say. And that was most tangibly evident in this annual cycle of Israel's feasts. The spiritual rhythms of Israel's feasts followed very closely the agricultural rhythms of her land, just as we sang a moment ago, of seed time and of harvest. God, you see, desires that the rhythms of the soil would shape the rhythms of the soul. The Feast of Trumpets, for example, you see this on our calendars even now, Rosh Hashanah. It signified New Year in the Jewish calendar, but it was also the time for plowing, for seeding, for planting. Then you have the Feast of Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Those occurred at harvest time, These were occasions to celebrate and give thanks for God's abundant provision and goodness shown through the year. Now again, all this is given to ground us in the mystery and in the wonder of God's awesome grace. We ask, we seek God's grace in our beginning. And then we look back and we thank the Lord for his faithfulness, his abundant goodness at our endings. Rogation Sunday derives its name from the Latin verb rogare, which means to ask. So like the Feast of Trumpets in Israel, Rogation Sunday occurs at the beginning of the growing season. And so we ask the Lord for favorable weather, for steady, regular rains to nourish seeds and plants growing in the ground that will feed us. Now, Rogation Sunday has a counterpart in the agricultural year, which is the time of harvest, or in North America, Thanksgiving, of course. So Rogation days are to seed time as Thanksgiving is to harvest time. Just as, in Israel, the Feast of Trumpets and Tabernacles mark the beginning and the end of the agricultural year, respectively. Grace at our beginnings. Grace at our endings. One of my favorite novelists, the French Catholic Georges Bernanos, he wrote, "Grace is everywhere." We might improvise on Bernanos and say, "Grace in every season." And certainly that was how Israel was shaped from her beginning. When Moses preaches to Israel, when she's just on the border of Canaan, the promised land, to inhabit that as their new home, the sermon that is the book of Deuteronomy, Moses declared they would enter a land that's flowing with milk and honey. The land that you are entering to take possession of, it is not like the land of Egypt from which you came, where you sowed your seed and irrigated it like a garden of vegetables. But the land that you are going over to possess is a land of hills and valleys, which drinks water by the rain from heaven. It is a land that the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. The land, it was all gift, all grace. This is the story from beginning to end. Think of the beginning, just like Adam woke up in a garden paradise he would call his home. After God breathed life into him, so Israel, in the same kind of way, entered the garden paradise of Canaan they would call their home. Not Adam, not Israel, not any one of us could create such wonder or beauty or abundance through our own skill. Look around you and see that all of this world is gift. But just like Adam and like Israel, the gift, the treasure, these gifts that you and I have received freely, without our effort, after receiving them, now requires your effort and mine. The gift of abundance is free, but the gift received requires then abundant care, the greatest care. And what is that care, Moses speaks? Keep the commandments. Keep the grace of God in your midst. Remain humble. Stay grounded. Be gentle with one another. Just like you see the morning sun shining gently over a meadow. Remember that you have received great possession, and now you are the trustee, you are the steward, you are the caregiver of the grace that God has given you. In the agrarian parables we heard in the gospel this morning, notice how the Lord describes that the kingdom of God is like a farmer who cares well for his ground. The farmer sows seed on the ground, and then he watches it. He watches it sprout and grow. And then he goes to sleep. He rises, wakes again. And in that mundane routine where you can't see much happening day after day, There's a great mystery at work, and it's hidden. The farmer, he's not the cause of the mystery, but he's the witness, and he's participating in that mystery. He's not the most powerful force in that story, not by a long shot. Neither am I the most important figure in my own faith. No, the farmer is both a participant and a witness of a spiritual force, of a marvel that defies his understanding. He sees through the weeks, the earth produces by itself. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear, then grab the sickle. The farmer of Jesus' parables, you see, he cooperates with the grace of God. He's neither the author of germination or of growth, but he's got to tend each stage of growth. As the farmer is tending the growth, he witnesses that mystery that has grown from the ground up. His intelligence, his experience, his skill, that won't produce the harvest. And you see, God takes our small beginnings, the seed time of our lives, even if they be so microcosmic as a mustard seed, he takes those small beginnings, and then the mystery of grace begins working in hidden ways. It would be totally in vain for the farmer to accelerate growth, to try to manipulate the process, to impose his own timeline. No, remember the Psalms. It is in vain that you go to bed late and rise up early, for he gives to his beloved sleep. The farmer knows, and he embraces that. He does not depend on his own abilities. He depends on the mystery working beneath the surface when it's hidden. He knows the mystery of grace is greater than any work or labor he can do. So he goes to bed. And then he wakes up again. And then, with each new day, he tends the work of grace until the harvest comes. Some of y'all know I have three main hobbies: cooking, woodworking, and gardening, each of which has a common thread. Each activity requires a quality I have not attained, and that is patient attention. If you're not watching the pan when you're sautéing vegetables or chicken, at best, you lose all good flavor and texture, but at worst, you've burned your dinner and you're going to Cracker Barrel instead. If you care about your fingers, you'll be focused each and every time you use a power saw. But woodworking requires your focus when nothing's plugged in. When you're sighting a board, when you're working with the grain, when you're marking it, joining it, sanding it, or finishing it. Now, gardening is an activity wherein plants flourish. They flourish with patient attention, and they absolutely flounder with sustained neglect. You ignore weeds for 1 week in April, and you can still recover. Ignore them for the month of July, and you might not see your plants anymore. And I think it's why I like these activities. They reward patient attention, and they frustrate me, I need it, when I want to do things on my terms. They humble me. They keep me grounded, both literally and spiritually speaking. They teach me dependence in ways that few other experiences can. The farmer cannot make the sun shine or the rain fall. He depends on God. He cannot be God. So he prays. He asks, rogare, mystery, grace. When a cut flower garden blooms at high season and when baskets are full of vegetables, you can't possibly take pride in your skill. You're a witness of God's mystery, not its author. You receive the joy of beauty, the bounty of provision, and yet all you've done is tend the mystery at work, a work that is so much greater than yourself and your abilities. That, my brother and sister, that's what the kingdom of God is like. No Rogation Sunday would be complete, in my mind at least, unless we read the words of my favorite Kentucky writer and poet, Wendell Berry. So here are these verses from Berry's Sabbath poem 17, wherein he describes an old man walking to a beloved place of peace. In the lengthening shadow, he has climbed again to the ridgetop and across to the westward slope to see the ripe light of autumn in the turning trees, the twilight he must go by now that only grace can give. Thus far, he keeps the old sectarian piety. By grace we live, but he can go no further. Having known the grace that for so long has kept this world, haggard as it is, as we have made it, we cannot rest. We must be stirring to keep this gift dwelling among us, eternally alive in time. This is the great work. No other, none harder, none nearer rest, or more beautiful. Yes, we must be stirring to keep this gift dwelling among us, eternally alive in time. It is not theoretical, abstract grace we are given. We have grace made visible, tangible, tactile. It is a free gift of God. Everything is gift from His hand, and that gift requires humble and holy tending. This is the great work, no other, none harder, none other nearer rest, or more beautiful. So tend the work of grace today and be not only witnesses, but be partakers of the mystery. The mystery that the firstborn of creation, Jesus Christ, promised His presence and His grace given to us in tangible forms. In things like wheat harvested to become bread, then to become His life-giving body. In things like grapes crushed and become wine, then become His life-giving blood. For such is the kingdom of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.